So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough. For me, your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me.
Walking in the light, cause I've been on my knees in the night, and I prayed till the Lord gave a sign, and now I'm feeling mighty fine. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven on my mind. Don't you know heaven on my mind, and I'm feeling mighty fine. I've been walking with Jesus all the time. We're walking and talking as we climb. We're traveling a road to the sky, where I know I live when I die. He's been telling me all about the land, and he tells me that everything is grand, and he says that a home will be mine, and now I'm feeling mighty fine. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven on my mind. Don't you know I want to go where the mill and honey flow. There's a light that always shines down inside. Heaven on my mind, and I'm feeling mighty fine. Well, I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got heaven on my mind. Don't you know I'm going to go where the mill and honey flow. There's a light that always shines down inside this heart of mine. I've got heaven. Heaven on my mind, and I'm feeling mighty fine. Life is easy when you're up on a mountain, and you've got peace of mind like you never know. But when things change, things go wrong, he'll make them right. And the God of the good times, he's the God in the bad times. For the God of the day, he's the God in the night. We talk. Said it's better.
really put to the test. And the God on the mountain is your God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is your God of
Mother's Day to all of you ladies, and I appreciate all of the women in our life, whether you're a mother or not. It's a special day for all of our ladies, and we're glad you're here. We do have some visitors with us. We welcome you. We want you to feel at home this morning in God's house, and we've already had a good Sunday school hour. Let me just mention and congratulate someone. We have Sherry Arrington was Teacher of the Year at Slayton High School, so she's... She is up there representing us well in Slayton High School, as so many of our teachers and staff out of the church do, and we appreciate her. We want to roll out the red carpet for you this morning, ladies. We're going to do the best we can to treat you well, and I hope you men have good plans, or kids, good plans to go home and treat mom well this evening. Make her cook a meal for you, and then let her lay down, okay? All right, so glad you're here this morning. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then we'll get right back to some important singing. Okay, Matt, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Man, thank you. May be seated. Do you ever remember phrases that your mother used to tell you? If I ever heard these words, David Lynn, I knew I was in trouble. I would also hear, do you think we are living in a hog pen around here? Get in there and clean your room up. Well, a lot of times I show videos on Mother's Day that are very serious. This is kind of a lighthearted video. It just is entitled Things That Mothers Will Never Say.
I'm so bored. I wish I had something to do.
Thanks for letting me sleep in, kids.
If you make a mess in the kitchen, please let me know so I can clean it up. Raising kids is so easy.
I just love driving around all day.
Oh, I never have to repeat myself. They always listen so carefully.
Oh, look, an empty box of cereal. Love it.
Just wipe it on your sleeve.
It's pretty cold, but you don't need a coat.
Oh, you don't have to push in your chair.
Don't make your bed, you're just gonna sleep in it again later. I think I'll skip the coffee today.
You know, these throw pillows look way better on the floor.
I'm really not that busy. Well, you haven't showered in 3 days, but I think you smell great.
We do have food at home, but let's just go out to eat.
Just brush your teeth whenever you feel like it.
Here, take my phone charger and go put it in your room. Oh, just leave your dirty dishes on the counter.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's all pull out our phones.
Youth sports are so cheap.
Braces are so cheap.
School fees are so cheap. Hey, can you come crawl in bed with me around 2 a.m.? Thanks.
Okay, I just spent 2 hours making dinner, but if you don't like it, that's fine. Just let me know and I'll make you something else.
Don't even bother looking for that. I'm sure it's lost and gone forever.
Can somebody please throw something at my head?
I mean, I can keep track of every single one of your things. I get a ton of sleep. I get a ton of gratitude from my children. I get a ton of unsolicited help with the housework.
Oh, you don't have to hurry up. We're gonna be right on time. Can someone please throw something at the TV?
Thanks for doing the laundry, everyone.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you use your outside voice?
Ah! Fight, fight, fight!
The floor of this vehicle is so clean, I can't believe it.
Oh, good. Another trip to the grocery store today. Let's go.
Hey, I'm gonna hop in the shower. Does somebody wanna come use the bathroom while I'm in here?
love you today, and God, we're so grateful for your goodness and for your grace and for your mercy. And God, we are grateful for our mothers. And Lord, there's not a person here that wasn't greatly impacted by their mother. And God, I just pray that you'd bless each mother today. Pray that each mother would feel special, feel loved, and feel honored. God, I pray that you'd be with our pastor as he preaches the sermon that you've laid upon his heart this week. God, I pray that you'd use him in a mighty way. God, today I pray that you would speak to our hearts. God, I pray that you would draw us close to you. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would move up and down these aisles, and that you would work in a way that only you can. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and your soul. Your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
seated and we'll have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for your blessings on our day already. It's your day all day long, Father. We appreciate the Sundays you give us. Each week, Lord, we have an opportunity to rest, be with our families, and more importantly, to be in your house with your people, hear your word, sing praises to your name. Father, we have many ladies here in your house this morning, Lord. They're all special to us. And I pray, Father, that the next few moments, Lord, as I speak, that your Holy Spirit would anoint me, have your way with me, and allow me to bring the word of God and bring encouragement to the lives of these ladies. Father, we're thankful for your mercy, your grace, your love. Thank you for the guests that you brought to the house of God this morning. And we pray these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 139. Psalms 139. And I'll tell you, kids, I'll remind you to wake up, sit up, clam up, and don't get up while we're having our services. Now, last week I said shut up and shocked too many parents. And so you can say that to your children, okay? Shut up. It's okay. It's okay. Me and these kids have a good relationship. And yes, I will tell them to close their mouth once in a while. So, Psalms chapter 139. Today is a very special day for all of us. We celebrate the lives of the ladies. It's Mother's Day, but you don't have to be a mother to play an important role in our life. You may be a sister, you may be a wife, a friend, a daughter, and in those capacities, you're a blessing to our lives as well. So we honor the ladies. I did something much different this week. I typically devote Saturdays to study and sermon preparation. It's just my routine. But because my granddaughter Channing had a dance recital on Saturday, I chose to break from my routine and study all day Friday. Special days, days like Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, Thanksgiving can be a difficult sermon to prepare simply because you're confined to that particular subject. And so the parameters, if you will, have been narrowed as far as study goes. But here's what I believe God gave me on Friday, and I want to share it with you. If God were an artist, every portrait that he painted would be a masterpiece, would it not? I mean, God is perfect in all things, and so if he chose to select a canvas, and somebody go make sure my wife gets in here, please. Just see what's going on. I want her in here for this. He's perfect in all things, and in whatever it is he chooses to do, it's gonna be just right. And so if God picked up a brush and he began to paint a portrait, whatever strokes he made, maybe a little bright spot right over here, or maybe a little shadow over there, or blended colors here, maybe a tiny detail over there. Whatever it is, when he completed it, it would be a beautiful image of whatever he wanted to be on that canvas. We know it would be a masterpiece. So, ladies, young and old, any age, I want you to envision today that you are a portrait painted by God. I want you to envision yourself as something that God painted. Before we move forward, let me just make this statement. You'll never begin to be God's portrait unless you belong to Him. Okay? I got to make that clear, because a person who does not belong to God, does not know God through His Son Jesus Christ, no matter how brilliant an artist God is, if He does not have the canvas of your life, so to speak, then He can't paint it. So if you're here and you're not saved, then I encourage you today that you need the forgiveness of sins. You need to be placed in the hands of God so He can create the masterpiece that He wants to create. I beg you to choose to be saved today if you're not already. Psalms 139, we're going to begin in verse 14. And it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. The two words there that we see, made and works, they intimate the ideal of something that's produced, a product, if you will. If you want to be a product of God's hands, then you've got to be placed in God's hands through salvation. So ladies, if you're believers this morning, you're born again, then you are in God's hands. You are a canvas, if you will, that He wants to paint on. He wants to paint a masterpiece. So for the next few minutes, I'm going to give you three things that God wants to paint into your life. And for the sake of illustration, this canvas right here will represent your life. And what goes on this canvas as we proceed is going to represent you, who you are in this life. And as I make each point, I'm gonna paint a little bit. I've got my colors right here. I have my brush, and I'm gonna paint just a little bit with each point. And I don't mean any disrespect to our Father. I don't mean to any irreverence to God by implying that I'm God painting, okay? But rather, it's all done for the sake of illustration. And I truly believe it's going to be a blessing to you and an honor to the Lord. In painting your life, ladies, God wants to give you beautiful, beautiful hands. God wants to paint you with beautiful hands. What do we mean by that? In Scripture, hands generally represent behavior and actions. Proverbs chapter 31, if you're familiar with it, you know that it speaks of the virtuous woman. And six times it mentions her hands. A virtuous woman worketh willingly with her hands. It mentions in that Psalm or Proverbs the fruit of the hands. It says she layeth her hands to the spindle. It she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. And then again it speaks one more time of the fruit of her hands. And then it says she stretcheth forth her hands to the poor. You see, people's hands are what they use to take action, and they represent certain behaviors. People's hands have always been a kind of a source of intrigue to me along the way. A man or a woman or whoever, your hands have performed countless millions of tasks throughout your life. And so when I shake a man's hand, it tells a little bit of a story. Now, it's not scientific, but it's observations that I make by shaking a man's hand, good or bad. But it'll tell me perhaps what kind of a line of work he has, or whether perhaps he's an office type man. These sort of things, and it's not scientific. It's just observation. But a mother's hands. When you shake a mother's hands, you know that those hands have changed many diapers. You know that those hands have wiped countless noses, and they've likely spanked the bottoms of children. And if she's a wife, you know that that hand has reached over and grabbed her husband's in times that he might be discouraged. You know that those hands have probably rubbed his shoulders when he needed some affirmation and told him how strong he was. You know that those hands have probably been used to turn his face and as she kissed him goodnight. You see, those hands take a lot of action and do a lot of different things. Those hands have probably ran a vacuum cleaner, or they've dusted, they've scrubbed toilets, they've washed dishes, they've done laundry, they've done all the things that keep the house clean, where if it were up to a man, the house would probably be profiled in an episode of hoarding, right? Or if it were my house, it would. You see, those hands, if they could speak, if they were a mouth, they would tell us a lot of stuff, but they're not a mouth, they're just hands. And so they have to tell their story through lines, through wrinkles, scratches, age spots, maybe even scars. But they also speak to us through softness, and they speak to us through painted nails and gentleness. Whatever the case is, God
wants to paint you, ladies, with beautiful hands. You see, in the Bible not only speaks of hands of a virtuous woman, but it also speaks of the hands of a fool, the hands of a drunkard, the hands that shed innocent blood, hands that refuse to labor, hands that are idle, hands that have made idols, hands that have taken bribes, and the list goes on and on. My point is, ladies, is your hands can be a catalyst. In other words, your behavior, your actions can be a catalyst to the world around you. They can do beautiful work, or they can do damaging work. I've seen women tear down homes, but I've seen other women rebuild broken homes. I've seen women create a toxic work environment. But I've also seen ladies, though they only be a simple secretary, become the oil that keeps the office going smoothly. I've seen the wrong woman get a hold of a good man and bring out the bad in him. But I've also seen, on the other hand, the right woman get a hold of a bad guy and bring out the good in him. Your hands represent your actions and your behaviors, lady, and God wants to paint on you beautiful hands. God also, ladies, wants to paint you with beautiful eyes. He wants to paint in your life eyes that you'll be proud of, and eyes that are glorious and pretty to look upon. And let me just say this. Whatever you set your eyes on, ladies, will determine the direction of your life. If you set your eyes on material things, and that's what you'll strive to have is material things. You'll want the latest styles. You want the nicest cars. You'll want the biggest house or fanciest home. You'll want to have the most impressive ring on your finger. You will want to take big vacations that will impress your friends. All of that will not only impact the direction of your life, but it'll also drastically affect your husband, who'll be saddled with the burden of debt and trying to keep you happy. It'll also affect your children, who'll grow up thinking material things are what define us. You see, if you set your eyes on material possessions and that becomes the driving force in your life, it'll affect everybody in your family, and you will never be happy and fulfilled. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:20, the eyes of man are never satisfied. You see, enough is never enough. You will never reach the point where you're satisfied if you're striving to have more and more. There'll always be that next thing. And when you get that next thing, then there'll always be something else that you're after. Why? Because God didn't design us to be fulfilled with possessions. As we were fearfully and wonderfully made by God, He created within us a spot that only He can fill. It's a God spot. It's shaped like Him. It nothing else fits. It could be something besides material possessions. It could that capture your eyes. It could be something like popularity. I want to fit in. I want to be approved of by my friends. It may have something to do with power and authority. I want this position. I want to be known for that. And all of these different things, all these different variables of things you can set your eyes on, they'll never satisfy. They'll never give you what you're looking for. It may be a desire to be beautiful, physically attractive, and a looker, if you will. And there's nothing wrong with putting our best foot forward. Don't misunderstand me, okay? But those things will never give you joy. You set your eyes on anything but what God has for you, and it'll never bring you joy. It'll never give you the sense of purpose and fulfillment. Again, whatever you set your eyes on will determine the direction of your life. It'll determine who or what you are living for. So with that being understood, let me give you this verse. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26, God says, let thine eyes observe my ways. You see, God says, set your eyes on my ways. If you're a mother, then you seek to know what God expects of a mother. That'll bring you fulfillment as a mother. If you're a wife, you find out what kind of wife God wants you to be. If you are a young girl, a daughter, a friend, an employee, then you set out, maybe a church leader, whatever, you just set your eyes on knowing what God wants you to be in that capacity. And it'll be beautiful. If you do it, mom, if you do it, daughter, if you do it, wife, if you do it, employee, God's way, it'll be beautiful. Another thing God wants to paint in the portrait of your life is beautiful lips. Beautiful lips. You see, ladies, this might be the most important point that I make today. You can line your lips. You can pluck your mustache. Wax it or whatever. And you know what I'm talking about. Some of you got mustaches. You can put on lipstick. You can put on lip gloss. You can pooch your lips. You can even inflate your lips like so many of these women do today. I saw a commercial. I see it all the time. I had to ask Tricia who it was. It's Khloe Kardashian. You know what I'm talking about? And you talk about lips now. I thought, I would hate to baptize her. I don't think you'd ever get her head underwater. They just look like flotation devices, just great big old lips. And ladies, if you're going to mess with your lips, I know it's the thing, but put a valve stem right back here, okay? Where you can pump them up and then deflate them along the way. If you're going to do a selfie like the girls like to do, well, pump it up to about 30 psi, okay? And then if you're going to kiss your husband, deflate it a little bit. He don't want to feel like he's being swallowed. Whatever you do with your lips. Seriously, whatever you do with your lips, there's nothing it's going to make them as beautiful as God can make them when He teaches you what needs to come out of them. You see, only you control your lips. It's really an amazing thing when you think about it. The Bible talks a lot about it. Everything about a person can be restrained except their lips. You can tie someone's hands, you can tie their feet, you can put their arms in a straitjacket, you can hog tie them, you can even put a whole body in prison, in a cell, and restrain them. But your words can never be locked up. Words can even easily escape a prison cell. The truth is, the only one who can restrain your lips is you. And God wants to paint you with beautiful lips. The Bible says a lot about lips. Flattering lips, deceitful lips, lying lips, poisonous lips, perverse lips, transgressing lips, false lips, a fool's lips, lips that talk mischief, unclean lips. I think we all get the picture. You see, your lips, ladies, can make or break you in life. Ironically, the other day after putting this message together on Friday, that evening I was out shopping for a brand new tank of diesel for my pickup. And I ended up at Sam's, where I like to get my fuel. And the lines at the pumps were long, and I finally got up to the pump and was getting my fuel. And I guess this lady was frustrated. It's an older lady. She's probably a grandmother several times over, a very aged lady. And man, she fell out of her car, and she went to cussing this other fella that was up ahead of her, and used language that would just make Donald Trump blush, you know. And I couldn't believe it. I sat there, you know, you're just shocked when you see, this is grandma, And, you know, I know grandmas get cranky and they threaten to bend you over their knee replacement. But she used words that I've never even heard Tricia use. And I thought, how sad. I really did. I thought, how sad. I don't know anything about this woman, but I'll bet her unruly tongue creates a lot of problems in her life. And so were yours, ladies, if it's unruly. But it doesn't have to be that way. The Bible says that there's death and life in the tongue. Ladies, God wants to paint beautiful lips in your portrait. The Bible speaks of silent lips, refrained lips, joyful lips, righteous lips, sweet lips, graceful lips, lips of knowledge, lips of the wise, lips that speak right things. You see, the Bible tells us there's all kinds of beautiful ways that your lips can be used. It's your choice, ladies. You can build up with your lips, or you can tear down. You can encourage, or you can discourage. You can uplift, or you can cast down. You can improve situations, or you can make them worse. You can be constructive or destructive. You can speak righteously or unrighteously. But God wants you to have beautiful lips. God wants your hands to be beautiful, ladies. God wants your eyes to be beautiful. God wants your mouth to be beautiful. God wants to paint everything about you beautiful. God wants to paint you in a way that you'll never be ashamed of. How many of you men have been in this position while looking at photos with a woman, she says, "Oh, I look terrible." You know, when she's looking at it, look at that forehead. You could land a plane on that thing. What's wrong? Well, look at my hair. Look at my smile. Look at my wrinkles. Whatever. Look at my chin. I look like Jay Leno in that picture. You know, you've been there. Look at that. I'm so embarrassed. You've heard her say it. Well, let me tell you something, ladies. God wants to paint you in such a way that you'll never be embarrassed. He wants to paint a portrait of you that everybody around you will be proud of, especially yourself. For most of you ladies this morning, I know you, and God's painted you beautiful. Your hands, your eyes, your lips, everything about you is beautiful to us men. Godly ladies in our church. So I guess you guys are pretty anxious to see this portrait I've painted right here. So I really had nothing to do with it. God painted it. And it's a masterpiece. Tricia, I want you to be the first one to see it. If you'll step up here for just a moment. Right here. You see? Ladies, each one of you could peer into this and see God's masterpiece. You can see something that you can be proud of. And you can see something that is absolutely beautiful. I don't care your age. I don't care your weight. I don't care how much makeup you got on or what your hair looks like. You can see something that is very beautiful. God wants us all to improve upon the portrait He paints in our life. I'm going to ask you to stand for the next few moments. Maybe you're here and you're a son or a daughter and you just want to turn to your mother and say thank you, or you want to bow before God and say thank you, Lord, for my mom. I'll call my mom later. I'm very thankful for her. Many of you know the story of my mom and our family, and it was a brutal first 50 years of her life, but the last 30 or 40 she's been a Christian. I'm so very proud of her. I love my mom. Maybe you're here, you're a mom, and it's tough on you. You got kids that are running you ragged. You're maybe having difficulties in your marriage. You're under pressure all the time. Well, bow before God today and say, God, paint me beautiful. Paint my hands, paint my eyes, paint my lips beautiful, God, where I can make you proud and where I'll never be embarrassed of them. Whatever the case is, if God's spoken to your heart, especially if you're not a Christian, you're not a born-again Christian, you've never given God the canvas of your life, if you will, for Him to paint on, please don't leave here today without turning to Christ Jesus. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. God's spoken to your heart, you come.
The Savior is waiting to enter.